Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Julian Kurz. He's the Business Development Manager, Western Europe at Arlas Logistics, and he's based in the great city of Hamburg. Very welcome to this interview, Julian.
Yes, hello, Bo. Thank you for having me.
Always good to see you, my friend. I always allow my accused or interviewees to elaborate a little bit about their background. So, Julian, how come you're not working at Volkswagen in a bank or in an accountancy? Why are you in logistics? How did that come about?
That's a good question. It came about because when I was young and in kindergarten, I would say, a good friend of my dad was a logistics guy in a freight forwarding company, and he moved around the world, meeting customers, doing business. And I always thought it would be great if I can travel the world and get paid for it, right? And I always thought also it's more interesting than just being in one place.
Yes.
And then when I finished school, I started an apprenticeship in a freight forwarding company in project logistics, and I never left somehow. I have been to certain shipping lines, but it was always in the project field. So that is what kicked my interest.
That's a good and fantastic origin you got there. And besides, when you mentioned you worked in some of the shipping lines, that also gives you a perspective from both sides of the table, right? I mean,
you have an understanding why a forwarder or a shipping line person is asking a certain question. So
yes,
it makes it easier. Yeah.
I can imagine. And what can you tell me about Arlas Logistics? A little bit of the history, maybe, and where they're headquartered. Of course, it's a rather well-known name, but for many of our viewers who may not be familiar with them, what can you tell us a little bit about who they are?
Arlas is a mid-sized freight forwarder headquartered in Antwerp in Belgium. They are for more than 100 years already. It's a family-owned company. It's by the Arlas Laysen family. Now the Laysen family is the owner of it. They have offices around the world. They started a little bit with ship agencies and so on.
Oh,
so they were the ship agent for a lot of German shipping lines, actually, long time ago.
Yeah.
They also owned vessels for a while. And then, because a lot of the customers were project customers, so they decided to go more into logistics.
Yeah.
And more shipping lines also opened their own offices. And then they concentrated now a lot on project logistics, but also on consumer logistics. So we have two big divisions. The consumer division is in tobacco and products like that. So they do a lot of warehousing as well.
Oh, yeah.
Arlas has own warehouses in Kazakhstan, in Ukraine. And then we have, of course, the project department, which we call industry and energy.
Yeah.
And that is a division where I am working in as well as a business development. Yeah.
Fantastic. And your area then, according to your title, at least Western Europe, and your job is then to develop canvas, get customers for the group in the Western part of Europe. When you say Western Europe, where would you say the border is? Which countries do you cover?
The main focus is on the DACH region, so Germany, Austria, Switzerland, the German-speaking countries.
Okay.
But then I take care a bit also of the Scandinavian area.
Good.
And maybe also Poland, and we need to see how that goes in the
future.
Yeah,
of course. But of course, it's already a big responsibility for you. What would you say is in project logistics? A lot of companies tell the world that we can handle projects. We are good at it. We even have some of the shipping lines who claim now that they are good at it. And even try to compete with a forwarder. What makes you stand out? What would you say is your strength in the day-to-day competition?
I think the strengths for the smaller size companies like Arlas compared to the big shipping lines, we are directly approachable, right? So the customer has our phone number, he has our email, and he's not going through service centers or anything.
Yes, that's good.
We are available whenever there's a problem, right? So if
yes.
a customer calls me 9 o'clock in the evening, it's also not a problem at the end.
Yeah.
Because maybe I can solve something in 5 minutes, which would otherwise cost a lot of time or money to solve at a later stage. So
Yes,
it's
yes.
really that we are there for the customer and we are also locally available. So we try
Yes.
to have people in all the countries which also speak the local language, because sometimes it's a bit complicated. If you translate something,
Yeah.
you miss something in between then. So it's good to speak the local language and be there for the customer.
I fully agree. I had an interview yesterday with a company in Colorado, and it was a Ecuadorian woman sitting there. She's handling a lot of projects there. They only 10 people, but have huge projects. So it means it bears credit to what you're saying, that you don't have to be enormous to win projects. Customers want customer service. They don't want a call center. So I think you're there at the right stage. How do you see the fact that some of the shipping lines, let's say, really directly and aggressively want to be forwarders? Do you think they can do it? Of course, anyone can throw money at the problem, but do you think they will succeed for a while, or will it fade out?
I mean, I worked for one of the big shipping lines,
Yes, I know.
who also own a freight forwarder. I mean,
Right.
when I started with them, they didn't own that freight forwarder yet, I mean, they think that they can cut out a forwarder sometimes to
Yes.
maybe make some extra money, right? So
Yeah.
then they have an advantage price-wise,
Of
but
course.
they don't want to do a lot of extra work. And the forwarder is still doing a lot of extra documentation. They do extra checks.
Yeah,
They
exactly.
maybe also give some extra kind of services where the big shipping lines don't want to act in. And I also
Exactly.
don't think they have the people for that, right?
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
I mean, there's one Danish big shipping line. They seem to be successful with it, but I think a freight forwarder still has its place. So.
I think so. And of course, we also have ourselves as forwarders, we have to improve whatever we do. So we can't just rest on our laurels. Tell us a bit about the global network of Arlas, because we have a global audience here at Project Cargo Weekly. So where do you have your offices outside, shall we say, Antwerp? There's you in Hamburg, and where else are you located?
Yeah, we have also offices in the
Oh,
Baltics.
yeah.
We are also, of course, in the CIS countries like Kazakhstan and so on,
Yeah.
where we are very strong as well. So we do a lot of transportation to the CIS countries.
Okay,
That is
interesting.
historically a strong point of Arlas.
Yeah.
So even though you're somewhere in the Kazakhstan middle of nowhere, we find a way to transport it there. We can also do, of course, road transport between China and Europe.
yeah.
If you're not having too heavy cargo, sometimes it's an option.
Yeah, wow. That's
Yeah.
interesting.
Then Arlas is very strong at the moment in Ukraine. So we were
Okay.
there already before the war in Ukraine started.
Yeah.
We have own warehouses there, own offices, own people.
Okay.
So we see also that there are more requests coming for Ukraine rebuilding and all
Yeah.
that. So not only military transports, but also really just equipment which need to be replaced or future investments.
Yes.
A lot
Yes.
of companies, of course, try to get ready. Arlas was also very strong in Russia.
Oh
That
yeah. That's
unfortunately had to
yeah.
stop. So we had own warehouses in St. Petersburg. Then we are, of course, in China, we are in Asia, Vietnam.
Okay.
And in the countries where we don't have our own offices, we have long-time partners where we have long-term work relationships
Yes,
with.
yes. And your own staff, you have own staff in Asia as well, I believe.
Yes, we have own staff in Asia.
Okay, all right.
Vietnam is quite a big office where we're very active,
Oh,
and
yeah.
China, of course, as well.
Yes,
And
yes.
then we just reopened an off oh, we opened an office in the US.
Right. So that's, yeah, you're really developing. And of course, with the USA now on a roll, and tariffs, and the president there working to get investments back, it's really the right time to be in the US. It's still a huge market with a lot of potential, I guess, also for
Yeah,
you.
it's a bit complicated at the moment because also a lot of companies are waiting what's happening with all the new tariffs and so on.
Yeah.
But it's a growing business to US,
Okay.
yeah.
What is the head count at Arlas? How many people are you, if you say
Yeah, we
are
have,
corporate?
I would say roughly 500 plus.
Okay. That's pretty sizable, I would say. So interesting. So that means, can you take your own decisions? I mean, for rates and all that, or let's say you shop in the rates from the various ship owners, and you can decide your quota. Must you go to headquarters and discuss with them? How is your local power?
Yeah, luckily I don't have to get all the rates myself.
Oh, okay.
Actually, we have in Antwerp some solution builders, we call them.
Okay,
So when
yeah.
I get a rate request or RFQ from a customer, I send it to the team in Antwerp, and then we discuss together
Okay.
what is the best way to deal with it.
Okay.
Because I got hopefully also a lot of input from the customer that I could maybe give them certain hints. Maybe RoRo is better, or breakbulk is better, or the customer wants something specific.
Yeah.
And then the solution builder is working on the best solution. And then before we quote to the customer, we will sit down quickly together, decide what we want to do and what we want to present to the customer.
Yes. No,
That gives me a little bit more time, of course, to visit customers and also to be out.
Yeah.
Because if I go to visit customers in South Germany or Austria, I'm gone for a couple of days, right? So
Yeah,
you're
of
it's a
course.
day's driving, it's 6 to 8 hours at least. Austria a bit further. So normally I try then if I visit customers in the south to do a couple of days out of it. And then if you then receive requests, you don't have the time to properly work on it.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I remember in my younger days, I was also a project forwarder, and it was really a headache. You get a nice inquiry, but then you also are on the road, unless you have somebody really good at it, at the back office who can support you. So
Yeah.
that's a very, very smart move. So how is the mentality from many of the shippers nowadays? Are they still willing to meet people face to face, or they put the phone call on voicemail, or they rather do online? Will they still see you in person?
I think it changed a bit, of course. Mondays and Fridays are difficult
Yeah,
times to get meetings
that's
done,
right.
because a lot of people are at least 1 to 3 days in home office.
Yes.
But Tuesday to Thursday, I would say it's still good to visit customers.
Yeah.
Of course, if you do a cold call to someone and they don't even know who's your company and so on, it's a bit tough then to get a
Yeah.
meeting with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you know the customer, or at least if they have heard about the company and things like that, then people are still happy that you go there, that you visit them, that you talk.
Yeah.
I think still project business is also a people business. So you don't get a big project just because you called someone or sent an email.
No.
You need to show them you're interested. You maybe meet 2, 3 times, you have a couple of phone calls. Then the people see, okay, you're interested, you put the time in, and then you have a chance on it.
Yeah.
And I think it still definitely makes sense. And a
Yes.
lot of times when I visit customers who also manufacture something on site, they directly offer me to show me what is the process of the manufacturing, the warehouses, which gives me the advantage. I understand what are the difficulties maybe for their cargo, right?
Yeah.
Can maybe to save some costs, can they maybe dismantle some items, yes or no? So we could discuss it with the customer. So I always try when I'm there to also see the production to
Yeah.
understand more about their product.
I think that's a very smart move, and you are spot on. I mean, online in all fairness, but face to face, you will always get to know more, and you show more interest. And I think the pendulum is swinging back. A lot of people hide behind the online and behind the computer, actually, nowadays. So,
Yeah.
like you say, you show interest, and I think many, many customers will appreciate that. That company I spoke to the other day, as I mentioned, in Colorado, doing a huge project in Chile for the Atacama Desert. As I said, only 10 people. Why would they get a huge project like that? Because they do the proper follow-up and service face to face, not some system where the call center is in India or Philippines,
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. And what is next for you? Of course, you're relatively new in Alas, so maybe it's a dumb question to say next for you. First thing is to get the customer on board. How do you plan? How do you go out a couple of days a week, or how do you, how do you go about it, so to speak?
Yeah, I try to visit customers at least once or twice, 3 times a month. It
Yeah.
depends a little bit, not every week maybe,
Okay.
but whenever I see that a customer is interested in a meeting in one area, I try then also to check which other customers are in the area to make the best out of the time, right?
Yeah, of
I
course.
mean, if you go to a city, Stuttgart, for example, none of your customers is normally in the city center. So one is
Right.
in the south, one is in the north, which could already be a 2-hour drive in between.
Right.
And I realize it's difficult to say, okay, I have now 3 customers I know in the southern part of the city. let's quickly meet them all in one day.
And you
It doesn't
can't.
work. One
No.
says, okay, I'm fine on Tuesdays. The other one says, okay, Wednesday.
Yeah.
So you drive a bit around, but
Yes.
I mean, with good planning, it can be done, right? What I
Definitely.
realize is a bit difficult to find a good time to call them.
Yeah.
If you call this week to visit them next week, they say, oh, it's very short notice. If you
Yeah.
call and you say, I'm planning to come down in 4 weeks, it's so
It's too
long
long
away.
notice.
And yeah, so it's difficult to find the perfect time, but
Yeah, but it's part of the life, and I guess that's why we love logistics, and I'm sure you do it also because it's never boring. I mean, can you
no.
imagine sitting in a bank or no, that I think the big problem for me sometimes is to explain to people what we do in logistics. If I say I work in shipping and logistics, and people ask, shipping? Do you sell ships or they don't
Yeah, it's the same
know.
here,
Yeah, so, but that's really great, Julian. One of the final questions here: how do you view? We are soon at the end of the year. I mean, I don't know. Time flies. The older you get, the more it flies, I can tell you. End of the year. What's the forecast for you? Would you say, if you look from a European standpoint, and your area of responsibility?
yeah, I think 2025 was definitely not a good year. Oh, you had so many problems, and especially in Germany, you have a lot of political problems. You have problems getting road permits. I mean, it's a bit better now than in the past 1, 2 years. But then you have also very high production costs for companies here. So it's a lot of uncertainty in German companies, at least. We hope that next year will be a better year. We see also that a lot of requests are coming, which are all for next year. So it seems that also the customers are a bit more hopeful for next year. We need to see, but I think it's the second half of
Yes,
2026, right?
at least let's hope now with the first deal of the peace deal, it seems, in the Middle East, and hopefully Ukraine coming at some point. I mean, should give a positivity and optimism back to all of us, because of course it influences everyone. And the final question I would have here is, do you think the role, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but the role of a project forwarder like you will still be available. No, they can never get rid of us, so to speak. It will still be there, right?
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, even with AI coming more and more everywhere, you can't replace this because we use certain tools where I can plug in a whole Excel file and ask the tools, then how do you store this into containers? And then they tell you they put 40 tons into a 20-foot container or something, right? So it's always, I mean, a lot of things can be made easier, I guess, and you can automate a lot of processes and stuff like that. I mean, you can even say to AI, I want to visit 10 customers. What is the best way to drive with a car, right? So they will really tell you go from here to there. But you still need someone at the end to look over it and check, does it really make sense or not, huh? And I think that is still a long way away for AI to understand those complicated processes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there is a lot of hype about it now.
Yeah.
At the moment, very,
It's the
very.
same if you have like a very big transport on a German highway. German highway bridges are maximum 5 meters high from the ground. So AI might tell you from 4 meter 50 cargo, yeah, you can put it under the bridge, but you still have a trailer, things like that.
To add,
Yeah, so and then it's not only leave 1 centimeter or something, right? So you really need to be a bit smart of working with that. So I think we will still have our place for the future.
There's still a job for us, and you're younger than me, so I soon am on the way, but at least there's job for us. Excellent,
Yeah.
Julian. As always, good to see you, and I want to formally thank you very much for this great interview.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, Apple.
No, anytime, anytime. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was a great interview again from Project Cargo Weekly. Special guest of honor today, Mr. Julian Kurz, Business Development Manager, Western Europe, of Arlas Logistics, headquartered in Antwerp. Julian is based in Hamburg. Certainly a capable guy who knows shipping and logistics, both from the ship owner side, Project Cargo, and also from logistics side. So do contact to him. He's service-minded. I know him many years, and don't be shy to reach out to him. So from me, Project Cargo Weekly, thank you very much, and until next time.